going back to the last time we met, a couple of things to clarify and correct, if you will. When we talked about these two Jewish young men on the night of the Exodus, I forgot to mention they were both firstborn sons, and the firstborn sons were the ones that were in danger that night, okay? Somebody had asked, well, did their whole family perish? No, just the firstborn sons. So keep that in mind. And then I made a comment about the Levites in the service of the tabernacle. So if you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 8, I said they served from the age of 20 to 60, and that is a little bit off. But in Leviticus 8, starting in verse 14, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. The Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel. Instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh into the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons. As the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. So,
where was that at?
Yeah. Leviticus 8?
No.
Okay,
no.
24 then. 24, Leviticus 24.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's the same thing. That's okay.
I had 8:24 or 24:8, so sorry. Leviticus 24. So, the Levites served in the tabernacle, basically doing the whatever Aaron and the priests appointed them to do. They were responsible. One family was responsible for breaking down the pieces of the tabernacle and transporting it. Each of the three families had a certain part of the tabernacle to take care of. And they did that from the age of 25 to the age of 50. The age of 50, they sort of went into semi-retirement. They no longer did the things that they did from 25 to 50, but they just kind of helped out the younger guys with whatever they had. In contrast, Aaron and his sons are a different story. If you know anything about Aaron, he was Moses' older brother. And if you look up Aaron's death, he was 123 when he died. And Moses was 120 when he passed. So, and then of course, Aaron, one of Aaron's sons, took his place. The difference was the high priest served to death. They never left office. They didn't retire like the Levites did. Okay, so there was kind of a difference there. The Levites from 25 to 50, and then they went into, like I say, kind of a semi-retirement where they helped and did the lighter stuff. But the high priest and his successors all served until death. So it was interesting contrast there. I'm going to watch for my daughter. I told her if she pulled up, I would run out and grab my note from her. So with that correction, I'm sorry, that was Leviticus 24. So they served for 25 years rather than 40 years in the service of the tabernacle. But now back to Colossians 3. Let's see. I think we made it to about verse 8 or 9. And did we even get that far? No. No, we didn't even get that far. That's good. Okay. Let's see. No, we actually didn't make it into 3. Sorry. Okay, verse 20 of chapter 2. He says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Taste not, touch not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And we went through a series of scriptures in relation to that. But again, our old man died 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
All right. And as our pastor has said so many times recently, we're not from here. So Paul is saying, if you really identify with that, if you understand that our old man is dead and we've been seated in the heavenlies, why would you subject yourselves to dead ordinances, to man's, the things that man has put forth because it makes him feel good. It makes him look good. Okay? And there's many different degrees of this. I mean, some denominations, you have these ministers that dress up in these fabulous costumes and parade around in this. And unfortunately, the adherents in that denomination, that system, all but worship the ministers in that thing. And there's an atmosphere, a false one, an atmosphere of humility on the part of those ministers. And yet at the same time, they expect people to reverence them. And then you have other denominations where they take things that were done in the Gospels, they take them literally. You have denominations where they literally wash one another's feet. Okay? You don't want to wash my feet. Trust me. There's times when even I don't want to wash my feet. Okay? But again, what is that? It's a show of humility. A show. There's no reality to it. Because more than anything, it was never something we were told to do.
That's right.
Okay? So we have these things that men look on and admire so much, and they get such a warm, fuzzy feeling from them, and yet they have no value. And really, if you think about what the scriptures say about our self-righteousness, what is it?
Filthy rags.
Okay? And those are not the kind of rags you want to have around. They stink. So Paul here says these ordinances of touch not, taste not, handle not, they're all after the commandments and doctrines of men. It doesn't say God, it says men. And on top of that, they're all going to perish with the coming of the Lord. There's no reality in them. They're just empty signs, you might say. So, and Paul admits, he said they have a show. Thank you so much, sweetie. They have a show of wisdom. And again, there's a false awe and reverence in many of these things that people do. And moreover, a false humility. But Paul says this humility is a false one. And there's even a neglecting of the body. But he says here that there's no honor to us or to Jesus in these things. So, practices and rituals. Now, again, this conduct will be very admirable to the ignorant. It will gain their applause. But, and it'll give them, again, a warm, fuzzy feeling towards those that participate. But,
do you remember that?
There again, there's no honor in these things. And we want to honor the Lord, certainly. That word honor, if you want to look it up, it's 5092. It means value, esteem, or dignity. And Paul's saying there's no value in it. Yeah. It's what's another term for no value?
Worthless.
It reminds me of Brother Hill, that one sermon he said where the fella threw himself down on his face for 5 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
all sorts of things like that. Look at the
penance. I think
look at the Eastern religions, the Hinduism and things like that, where they do so many things to torture themselves, lay on a bed of nails or something like that. And I can't think of the term, but there's a term. They have a term for people, the people in the Hindu religion that do that. They're kind of like it's kind of like saints, but
idiots. That's what.
What's that?
I'm sorry, idiots. I'm sorry, idiots.
There's a term in the Hindu language for it, but they're considered holier than the standard person because they do these things. So there is, it's very real, this false humility and the admiration that goes with it. But there again, there's no honor to us or to Jesus. And if you think about it, really, let's have somebody go to Acts 15, someone to Romans 16, someone to Galatians 6, and someone to Titus 1. If you think about it, again, the Lord tells us that we are new creatures and we're seated in the heavens with Christ. Those two things, among others, are facts. Now, we can understand that it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we're told that those are facts, and we're to reckon or to count with those facts. So if that's the case, if I'm a new creature and I'm seated in the heavenlies, is it really such a leap to understand that to subject myself to these rudiments of the world is really a traitorous way of life?
Yes.
Is that a too far of a leap to make? No. I'm denying everything that God says about me, about my life, about who I am, and maybe most importantly, about what he's done and what he said he did. Okay? So think of it that way. I mean, to subject ourselves to these ordinances of men, these things that look good and feel good, we're being traitors to the truth in doing that. Okay? Acts 15, whoever's there, verses 22 through 29.
Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Justus, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which were of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. How far?
Through 29.
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost to send us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well.
Yes.
Okay. So here was the answer to the great contention that had arisen, first at the church in, not Antioch, Paul's hometown.
You're thinking of Antioch, Syria.
Is it Antioch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you read the context around that portion that Ty wrote, you know who started this controversy? Believers.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Not heathen, not unsaved Jews. Believers started this. Oh, they have to keep the law of Moses. Otherwise, they're not saved. And you would have thought and would have hoped that going to the apostles, who are about as original an authority as you get other than the Lord himself, and having their sentence, and James used the word there. He said, wherefore, my sentence is, here's the decree of us apostles. We're not going to put anything on the Gentiles other than these necessary things. You thought that would have been the end of it.
Yes.
Duh.
No.
Not quite. It's been alive and well ever since. Okay? Romans 16, verses 17 and 18.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Wow. That, in two verses, that's another stinging indictment of this very same thing. Galatians 6, verse 12.
As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ.
Okay. And that's a fun one, because here you have those who, walking in the flesh, they have to have a feel good. Okay? They're puffed up. But that's not enough. They got to get you to do it too, because if you don't, they stand out and they realize that they're not with the scriptures.
Right.
So they got to get everybody else to go along with this thing so they can hide.
Scott,
James,
you know, faith just keep coming to my mind and heart. And in Acts 15, and you know, people that are weak in the faith. Now, and you know, like those Jews, that were causing all this trouble in Acts 15, they were believers. And what they were doing, they were believing. They, you know, they believed that, that what they were doing, as far as what had been handed down to them, as far as their, what God, you know, law, they were weak in their faith, right? Because I know God, that Jesus had fulfilled the scriptures, but what my problem is this: but when you have these people that know the difference when it comes to the traditions and philosophy, and they don't have faith, how would you put it together for me as far as faith? You know, weak in faith, and just when you know the difference, and you still want to.
Well, first of all, those who started this contention didn't think they were weak in faith.
Okay.
They were the strong ones. Because they knew how to toe the line.
Right.
And dot their I's and cross their T's.
Yes.
So they didn't view themselves as weak in the faith. They viewed people who didn't do what they said to do as being weak in the faith. Mm-hmm. But you also have to realize you're kind of dealing with two different things.
Okay.
When Paul talks about those that are weak in the faith, he's referring to people that have honest doubts.
Yes.
Because they don't know better, for one thing. They've never been taught any differently. He's talking about not offending people like that. And he himself said, therefore, and I think I got into this a couple, 3 weeks ago, therefore, if meat causes my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world stands. I don't want to do anything to stumble my brother.
Right.
But think about those, let's just call them Judaizers, okay? The saved Jews that stirred up this controversy.
Okay.
They saw themselves as strong in the faith rather than weak. But as I, going back to what I said a moment ago, they were new creatures, just like you and I.
Right.
So they were, again, to extend the thought, they were committing the worst kind of treason. And anybody know, even in modern states today, not to mention kingdoms in old days, do you know what treason against the crown does?
Death.
Get you hung or burnt at the stake or something like that. That's how serious it is, even in our country today. Do you know that the United States government still has the death penalty on the books for treason, for espionage? Betraying your country, which is what they were doing. They were betraying their Lord and Master and their country, if you will, by doing what they were doing. Okay? So understand there's two different things there. I'm not going to allow somebody, a legalist, somebody who wants to put me under the law, under condemnation, I'm not going to allow them to do that.
Amen.
But that's not the same thing at all as me foregoing something that I have a liberty to do because the Holy Ghost convicts me that it's going to stumble you because you don't have the liberty for it. Okay, those are two separate things. Related but separate. All right? Okay. Titus 1, whoever's there, verses 10 and 11.
For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy luxury's sake.
Okay? Here again, another stinging rebuke. Okay, look at the language Paul uses. And he says, whose mouths must be stopped. Okay, so does that mean if I hear somebody spewing that stuff that I go up and pop them in the mouth and knock them out? No. We combat error with the truth. All right, error is suppressed by truth. All right, and that is why the truth of the gospel is so important. rightly dividing truth. And we can't do that ourselves. That's the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost is so necessary. Because without that illumination, as Ty brought out in his study this morning, without that illumination and guidance, you won't see the difference. All right? Let's have somebody go to 2 Peter 1 and someone to 2 Corinthians 11. And whoever gets to 2 Peter 1, verse 16 through verse 3 of chapter 2.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yeah. Praise the Lord. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Okay, now here again, from Peter, of all people, another stinging rebuke. Look what he says. They bring in damnable heresies. Okay? Even denying the Lord that bought them. The moment we start accepting and allowing and relying on self-righteousness, we've denied the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay? So there you have it from somebody other than Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, whoever's there, verses 12 through 15.
But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Paul minces no words there. I mean, if you take the somebody help me out here. Is it the commutative or the distributive property of A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C? But anyway, what does Paul say here? People that are going to promote that stuff are the disciples and workers of Satan.
Amen.
And if they're born again, they're traitors.
Yeah.
Okay? So, the Holy Ghost, and you have to realize the Holy Ghost wrote all of this, inspired all this. The Holy Ghost minces no words.
That's right.
Okay?
Right.
All right. Going on. He says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The if here in verse 3 is number 1487, and it means for as much as or since. So we could really read it as since we are risen with Christ, not, well, maybe you are and maybe you aren't. It's not a question. It's a conditional statement. Since we're risen with Christ, our lives should be seeking the things of our home. That word seeking is number 2212 in the Strong's Greek. It means worshiping, plotting. I like that. Endeavoring, expecting, or striving to find. So, we should be plotting. You know, I'm plotting to get everything that the Lord says He gave me. You shifty-eyed thing, yeah. I'm plotting to get it all. All right? So we should be after the things of our home, not the things down here. Let's have somebody go to Philippians 3, someone to Hebrews 11, and someone to Luke 12. Whoever gets to Philippians 3, verse 20 it looks like.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, and we know that word conversation means citizenship. All right, our citizenship, our home, the country, if you will, that we choose to identify with. And I hope in most, if not all cases, the country that we're proud to be a member of.
Amen.
Amen.
I like that. Yeah. Proud to be a citizen of heaven?
Amen.
Absolutely. That's where your home is. Okay? Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looketh for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God.
Okay. Abraham was told to go out to one place, but he was looking for another one. How many of you know what the term TDY means?
Temporary duty.
Temporary duty. Okay. If you've ever been on temporary duty someplace other than the United States, Walter, no? Okay. When I went TDY to Saudi Arabia, I couldn't wait to get back. Okay, it was like going to another planet. All right, and the love and the desire for the things of home and to be at home, if it was that strong in a natural setting, how much more so in the spiritual? Okay. Luke 12, whoever's there, verse 34.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Ah, yes. Amen. How many of you have seen that little sign embroidered or painted on a little thing that you hang in your house? Home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
Okay. It's true. It's true. All right, notice verse 3 again. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 15, someone to John 3, and someone to Romans 6. Here is why we are to be seeking the things above. A dead person has no hopes, no desires, no expectations. If you don't believe me, take a trip down to the morgue and have them pull one of those big drawers open. You know? Hey, buddy, you got any hopes or dreams? Or girl, you got any hopes or dreams? They're dead. Okay? We are that dead, if not more, to this world. Okay? All right. So, what's that?
Sometimes I just feel I don't belong.
Good for you. There's a song about that you might want to sing someday. No, I'm serious. What's his name? One of the guys from the, I don't know if it's Brother Hawkins meeting, some years ago at camp sang that song.
Yeah.
About being homesick. I want to go home. So, a dead person has no hopes, desires, or expectations, and Christ in us is not from here. Okay? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, whoever's there, verse 47.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Okay, and stay in that chapter there, Hagen. Jesus is from the heavenlies. That's his home. All right? Whoever's in John 3, verse 31.
He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all.
Okay. And then in chapter 8, Nita, verse 23.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you think about it, when our true selves are made manifest, it's going to be glorious and in the glory.
Amen.
All right? When it's revealed what we really are, when we get out of these shells, so to speak. Hagen, in 1 Corinthians 15, again, verses 53 and 54.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, going back to basics for a moment. We are admonished to reckon, that is to count or believe or understand, that our old man is dead. Mm-hmm. All right? Whoever's in Romans 6, read the first 11 verses for us.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer than we? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Mm-hmm. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Now if you would, Joe, go back to chapter 4. So we're to reckon our old man dead. We're to believe with our father Abraham. And that's in 18 through 21, Joe.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Okay. I love that phrase, who against hope,
yes,
believed in hope.
Yes.
Kind of sounds like Job in some ways. I don't care if there's no reason to hope, I'm going to hope.
Amen.
God said it, I believe it, that's it. That's the end of it. Okay? So, if we believe with our father Abraham, it's going to be apparent then that we are of his stock, we're of his family. And that's in 22 through 25.
And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Okay. You want to be known as a member of Abraham's family, of Abraham's lineage? Just believe.
Yes.
No matter what, just believe. Because as our pastor spoke this morning, as long as we are here, the Lord is going to continue to perfect us.
Amen.
And he's going to do that by putting us through the testings that are necessary. All right? We don't arrive at some place where, okay, you've got your degree and now you coast the rest of the time until Jesus comes. It doesn't work that way. All right? Some months ago, I was struck by a phrase in one of the Grace and Glory songs. I think it's that one, O Gethsemane. And Bob has sung it a couple of times. But there's a phrase in one of the verses. Gethsemane's life waits a crown. Through the depths is the way of attaining. And I read that, and the Lord just spoke to me so sovereignly. He said, how deep are you willing to let me take you?
Yeah.
That hit home hard. Okay. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Chapter 5, Romans, if you would, and so on to Galatians 2. Now, Paul says, mortify therefore your members. On our part, there is no executing the items listed here in verse 5. They were executed almost 2,000 years ago on the cross in our substitute. Romans 5, Job verse 15.
But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many.
And then in chapter 7, verse 4.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
Amen.
Okay. Galatians 2, verse 20.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me.
Okay. So, we are not to go around trying to execute, put to death, these things that are listed in verse 5. They're already dead.
Scott,
we are.
I have a question about that.
Okay.
So, I understand about not being under the law and by grace and living Christ in me. I always understood this to be more about choices you make. And so even though I can't, I need God to overcome these things. right? Because
Jesus in you isn't going to choose any of those things.
No. But I always understood that was like these are things that you have a choice.
Well, sure you do.
But these are things that you should not do if you want to please the Lord.
You have a choice, Holly, but here's the problem. The guy on the one side is dead.
Yeah, right.
When was the last time you saw a dead person commit a crime?
Right.
Or commit a sin?
Mm-hmm.
They can't. They're dead.
Amen.
Okay? All we are to do is to count.
Amen.
Or reckon. The word reckon, you can take it to mean to regard or to treat as.
Okay.
Our old man is dead.
Amen.
He's been dead for a long time. Okay? And maybe this will help here. Follow me now on a couple of words in this verse. First of all, the word members is number 3196 in the Strong's Greek. And it means a limb or a member. Now, in the plural, the way it's used here, members, the Greek phrase is ta mele. And it means the members of the body as the seat of the desires and passions. Okay? The members of the body as the seat of... There are things boiling around in here. I'm not going to deny that. All right? So, that's what the members are. The phrase inordinate affection, a little further along in the verse, is the Greek word pathos. It's number 3806. It occurs three times in the New Testament. But here, it's coordinated with the word concupiscence. Evil concupiscence is the next two words after inordinate affection. And one commentator points out that here, being coordinated with the word concupiscence, it refers to the lust of desire.
Mm-hmm.
Pathos is the soul's diseased condition out of which the various lusts spring. Concupiscence is the active lust or desire springing from the diseased soul. And these are all upon the earth, but they will not be present in the glory. So you understand what Paul did here. He took pathos, which is the desires, the passions, and he specifically, the Holy Ghost had him couple it with the lusts that spring out of our members here. Those are all dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, tomorrow, sometime during the day, one of those things is going to spring up.
Count it dead. Right?
What's that? Yeah, it's dead. It's a ghost, if you will. What I like better. Our pastor says it's a lie.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
It's dead.
Amen.
Okay. Imagine for a minute walking through a morgue or a cemetery. How many here are afraid to walk through a morgue or a cemetery? They're all dead. They cannot do
that.
No. No ghosts. No zombies. They're all dead. They can't hurt you. All right?
Okay.
The fear of things like that is childish. You are not a child, Holly. Our pastor told you this morning. Okay? You're not a child. You're nearing full growth, if not there. So, dead things don't scare you.
No.
They have no effect or influence on your life.
Amen.
Okay? So, yeah, those things are in here, But we just read a moment ago that we, against hope, we believe in hope.
Amen.
We count the things that be not as though they were.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? Does that help? I don't want to go on until you, until...
No, I understand. You have to count and reckon it dead.
Yes.
Because there is a choice in that. And the choice is to follow after Christ. And if you keep your eyes on him, those things fall away. They're already dead. They're gone.
Yes, but don't make this mistake. It's not a walk or a life of every moment. Oh gosh, I've got to choose here. No.
No.
Christ in you is living your life.
Amen.
Amen.
And that those things have no effect on him. Our pastor said it this morning. He knows what it's like, but he yielded to none of it. So I don't walk through the day, oh boy, there's that thought. I can't think like that. Oh, there's that temptation for that. I can't look at that. No. You know what that goes back to? That becomes your effort.
Self-righteousness.
That's not what it's about.
No.
Christ in me lives my life for me.
Amen.
And none of those things have any interest or effect on him.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
That's what we want to do, is identify with our head and let him live our lives.
Amen.
Okay?
Jesus.
Okay, who had a hand up? Yes, ma'am.
Can I humbly say, with Holly, maybe, because that helped me a lot. And you just said it, sin shall not, it says it in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you.
No.
What does the word dominion mean?
Rulership.
Or, in a, perhaps in its least sense, influence.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sin shall not have the least influence over you.
That's a fact.
Wow. Right. What a state. Now, let's be honest, and let's be real, okay? We're going to make mistakes. We fail. But you know what? Jesus knew about that little failure from way before he even created the world.
Amen.
It's already been taken care of. It's already been taken care of.
Amen.
So instead of me falling on my face and crying and wailing, oh, I blew it again. No, just keep on walking.
Amen.
All right, now
I wanted
your turn.
To say, in my defense, I was 16. It was very dark. It was cold. And when I got there, I was going to get a whooping.
Wow.
The cemetery scary thing.
Oh.
That really happened to me.
The cemetery.
Okay. Was it one of those dead people that was going to give you a whipping?
I was scared, Scott.
Well, that's sure. But, John, you were a child.
I'm not dead now.
You were a child.
I mean, I'm not afraid of death.
You were a child.
That's why I said in my defense.
And somebody said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Cool. I spoke like a child. Good. But having grown up, I've put away childish things.
Amen.
Anybody hear that? Or read
yes,
that somewhere?
Amen.
Sam?
Yes. Back when I was in Mexico,
uh-huh.
I had a couple aunts that practiced witchcraft.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And they went around talking a lot about, you know, the devil and all that. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with a lot of fear.
Sure.
And I was afraid of walking around a cemetery. Or
sure.
But when it came to know the truth, the Lord delivered me from all that.
You grew up, didn't you? Yeah. See? See? You grew up. So it's okay. But again, Holly, you understand now what Paul is talking about here. You don't go around trying to put your members to death every day. Oh, you stay down. You know, what's that game you play with the gophers that pop up?
What's it? Pop them.
Huh?
Whack them or golf.
Golf.
Leave it to a golfer to say that.
Yeah.
No, whack-a-mole. It's not whack-a-mole. You stay down like this. That's not what it is. Jesus living in me lives my life.
Amen.
Okay?
And we've got the Holy Spirit also. They that are led of the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
There you go. And we might as well add, since Hagen brought it up, that is only by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because without that, you will struggle to play whack-a-mole 24/7. Okay? Okay. I hope it's been a blessing. We're out of time. Lord willing, next week we'll continue on.